Welcome to the 71st episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, joined here by Quizmaster Mark Davis.
Hello.
First, thanks to those of you who hit up Kylian's Kickstarter for her album, Eulogy. I saw one of our proverbial lightkeepers, Spencer the Chef, hooked it up. Thank you, Spencer. And thanks again to Kylian for coming on the show, providing so much good trivia. I had no idea that Joy Division was promoted by Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. And today we are joined by two members of the winning team of Nice Guys Pizza's fifth Triviaversary, Zach and Taylor. Welcome, guys.
Hi, I'm Zach. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, you did more than call in. You showed up today. Taylor, would you like to introduce yourself as well?
Hey.
Are you part snake? Was that parcel tongue that I just heard?
Taylor's a natural.
Yeah. Now, your names combined make up our 12th president. That is fascinating. Yeah. I'm sure you've never heard that before.
That's the only thing we guess every time a president question's asked.
That's good. Well, number
12. It was right once, actually. Good.
Yeah. It was right, and I convinced you to change it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was a cross-out answer.
It's amazing.
I had a team this week that had like four or five of those, and they were all right before. Mm-hmm. Like, there was somebody on the team just like, saboteur. I don't know.
Very, very tough.
Yeah. So, based on your performance at Mark's Trivia, the fifth anniversary of Mark hosting trivia at Nice Guys Pizza, you guys won a year's supply of pizza.
Hell yeah.
Have you already dipped in? I mean, it's been a couple weeks, right?
Hell yeah.
they've been back every week.
Yeah. How many other players were on your team that are not here right now?
Three.
There were three, and now one of them is actually moving to Pennsylvania or something on Saturday.
Oh, so the shares get wider now.
Everybody's two of them are on slice
of the pie, so to speak, has gotten a little larger.
The other two people are on the keto diet, and their cheat day is Wednesdays.
Okay.
So I think we're sitting pretty.
Nice. Very nice. Well, would you like to at least name them to give them a little bit of credit, since they're not getting the spoils, apparently?
No, I would not.
Okay.
No, yeah. Fair enough. It's my buddy Clayton and his wife Alyssa and our buddy Luke.
Wow. And all together, you guys got the highest score that night. Mark has shredded the evidence, he told me.
Yeah, absolutely. But after reading.
But
yeah.
We know that you won, and if you want more details on that, I guess just go back and listen to the episode that we talked about that on. Yeah. But at this event, how did you guys feel going into it? Like, when you walked into the room beforehand, did you guys prep at all?
Honestly, I'm just glad that Zach apparently is good at curating smart teams. I wasn't super confident going in.
Okay. Yeah. You felt like the tag-along
player, absolutely.
The wild card?
I have good penmanship and a good attitude, and I think those are my attributes.
Important, though.
Very.
Yeah,
very.
So we got there, and we like to show up to Nice Guys like an hour early to try and get a table, and it was packed to the mm-hmm. walls. I had another group of friends that was going to be a team, and they just left because there was like nowhere to be. And we go in and we see all these people. Shit, it looks like a lot of smart people here. I don't think we're going to do it. And then the first round, I don't know if this is going to be your questions later, but like the first round happened and like we did not do well.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, okay. Well,
we're just so here rocky to start to begin with.
Rocky start. Mm-hmm. And then the second round comes around and we did better, but we did not do well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different winner each time. And then Mark starts reading the winners off his phone, and he like going through the team names. And before like where our team name seemed to have fallen in the order, he was like, you know what? I guess I could read these in like ascending order of like third, second, first place. And we're like, oh, cool. We got third place. We win $50 or whatever it was. I don't remember what the third place prize was.
$150,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big thanks.
So you guys thought that you won third place?
We thought that we won third place, and then he read so-and-so as third place, and we look at each other and go, holy shit, we got second place!
Oh, I see.
We did so much better than we thought! And then he reads someone else's team name. There's no fucking way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now a whole year. So do you guys have a game plan for this prize? Are you going to try everything on the menu, or do you just have stock favorites? I mean, you could do anything at this point. A year's worth of pizza, you could do anything.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just going to show up next week without anybody else, ask for the remaining 48 pizzas on the front, and not tell anybody.
I think there's the fine print in the fine print.
All in one shot.
I'm not sure, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, I know that they had been showing
up. Depends
on
if it's a slow night.
They had been showing up to my trivia for a couple weeks before then, and it kind of started taking things by storm. You know, Jamie's team had kind of had a stranglehold. The occasional team would come in and, you know, ruffle things up or whatever. But so I knew it was going to be an interest. I think they had beaten Jamie's team the week before, didn't you guys?
We'd only ever won once.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, they were always,
I think you're giving us too much credit.
Contenders, mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
But, you know.
It just goes to show what you can do when you believe in yourself. Or when you go, hey, we could get third place. Yeah. Hey, we could get second.
Holy shit, we got first.
Yeah, surprise yourself.
Just like to think our good luck charm has been accusing Mark of atrocities.
Yeah.
It is true. Mm. So every
atrocities.
Week, atrocities. They are the team that is always Mark Davis. Suicided Jeffrey Epstein.
Ah.
Mark Davis did 9/11,
mm-hmm.
etc. So even last night, not to spoil the weekly wrap up, but third round, they were able to pull it out yet again when it looked like they weren't doing so hot, and again they said that I pulled out another atrocity. So it seems like it's going to be an ongoing thing, and it's been a good luck charm for him. So
I cannot wait for the weekly wrap up to hear this team name. It's been built up so much.
Indeed.
Congratulations, indeed. Guys, on your victory.
Thank you.
And enjoy your pizza. Let's go ahead and get into that weekly wrap up,
please.
All right. Saturday, November 2nd, I had the office trivia with 22 teams overall. Probably 80 or so players, the busiest crowd ever for a no-nonsense trivia event. That's What She Said, number one, took the first round. That was a team featuring Elise and your friend Ryan as well on that team. But they could not keep it together for the rest of the game. Unfortunately for them, Beyonce Always won the second round. And then Team Levinson, no longer Levinson Gould, won the final round and set a new highest score ever for no-nonsense trivia with 140 points. Congratulations to them. They only missed three questions, and they had a pretty stellar bonus point performance to each round.
I would like to have some Patreon content where we get John Lewis down here, and we have him do that office trivia since he wasn't down here for it.
I would like to do that Patreon bonus content.
Mm.
Let's have it happen.
Okay.
Let's have it happen. Monday, October 7th, for No Nonsense Trivia 237, Jesus Was a Wino won the second round. So You're Telling Me There's a Chance took the third. It was Trivia Newton-John who developed an early lead, taking the first round and the grand prize with a 61-point victory. On Tuesday, October 8th at Gather for No Nonsense 238, it was the Tarpon Charlies that won the first and third rounds, Tarpon Fat Cats winning the second round and grand prize, logging a 78-point victory. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia this week, and what was their team name, please?
They did okay. Scott and Steve won the first two rounds.
Steve and Scott?
Steve and Scott.
Scott and Steve.
Scott and Steve.
Two background characters from the hit ABC television drama Lost. I don't know if you remember them, Scott and Steve.
Yeah.
I've only seen two episodes of Lost.
I was a huge fan.
I broke my collarbone and just binge watched the entire thing.
Oh damn!
Yeah,
there you go.
It's fun.
Two painful endings. No, one heal. I guess one reverse.
Everything so, in balance.
They won the first two rounds, beating out Saved by the Bell End, Jamie and Fletcher and Kristen's team. Jamie with an early exit last night, not feeling very well.
Mm.
But pressure like got I to mentioned him. Earlier, the team that ended up. Winning the whole thing was Mark Davis rejected Adolf Hitler's art school application.
That's true.
won the night out with 59 points.
Wow.
Got the last question right.
What a weight on your shoulders.
But only wagered one.
Yeah.
So they could have won by an even wider margin.
I had an instance of that happen this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to the winning team at Nice Guys this week.
Which is them.
I thought you said they could have had it.
They could have had a wider margin.
Oh, wider. Yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations to you guys on your winning victory this week.
They're right here, Lee.
As well as congratulations to them wherever they are. Thursday at number 3, it was As You Wish with a total shutout victory. All 3 rounds and the overall score wrapped up in a tiny little bow, 92 points. Shoutouts to the Squeakiest Learners and Michael Bay of Pigs for their efforts. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, it will be at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Categories for No Nonsense 240 will be 80s music, video games, dinosaurs, Stranger Things, New York City, and the Titanic.
Boys get the rope.
And more. Final question category that night will be Sexy Ginger Men, selected by last week's biggest learners, hashtag fuck Tom Nobles.
Oh.
We'll be at Gather, No Nonsense Trivia 241. The categories for the quiz will include 2019's best-selling books, classic rock, movies from the 1930s, sports, cheese, SCTV, that would be Second City Television, SCTV, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about physics, selected by the Tarpon Charlies. Just to clarify, we love Tom Nobles. That is an affectionate. Like, yeah, please, hashtag fuck him. Not like, not like fuck you, Tom Nobles.
Please.
Yeah.
But isn't he married?
He is. That's it's directly to his wife. Hashtag Tom Nobles' wife. Please. Fantastic. Fuck.
Or maybe they're in an open relationship.
I don't know. I think they were just ribbing him. And I got in on the gag.
Ribbed for his pleasure.
Hey. November 6, 2019. Go check out Mark Davis hosting at Nice Guys Trivia. At Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral. Then on November 14th, we'll be at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. The categories for that quiz will include sitcoms, modern rock, baseball, books, Hello Kitty, tarot cards, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about celebs that died in 2018, selected by the team Get Your Beer Here. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us,
won't you?
Taylor, you look like you've been caught unawares.
I was wondering what the hand was.
Trying to, you know, because sometimes...
The choral director, Mark Davis.
Are aware, so I have to...
I was hoping I didn't misread that.
No, no, you did fine.
I thought he was just like amping them up. There's like a half second.
Zach, you did great. Thanks. Taylor.
I think I did great by not doing it. I would have ruined it. You would have had to do a retake. You're like, I did y'all a favor.
She just like sat there and just went.
Yeah. Just for the future. If you want to do something non-harmonic, you could do some percussion. You could do something like that. I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Nice.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break and then come back.
Give me a break.
Hashtag ad.
Off a piece of that applesauce.
What is it? Frisky Feast? Is that the Office reference?
He can't figure it out. One of them is applesauce.
Oh, okay.
And one of them is Fancy Feast.
And
I'm not a huge. I'm not a huge Office fan, and even I. Know.
And I own a cat. On top of that, Frisky Feast. Friskies. That's a different one, right?
Yeah.
Friskies is a totally
different brand.
Side note, saw that Hefty is selling red plastic cups with like a giant white logo Hefty on the side.
Oh, that's amazing.
Get out at the game, guys. Jesus. You think you're going to compete with Solo? They have a goddamn song by Toby Keith.
Toby Keith.
You think you're going to beat that?
The legend. Yeah,
give me that Hefty Solo cup.
I wonder if Toby Keith's real name is Tobias.
Tobias Keithford?
Pretty sure it's just Toby.
Probably.
Toby.
All right, let's take a break and research that. We'll miscorrection ourselves.
What if his first name's Keith?
Keith Comatobi.
Keith, all right, Keith. Bye. Back, Mark, do you want to kick us off this round? I've gone like the last 5 episodes, and frankly, I'm a little sick of it. I could use a little rest, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Thank you.
RPM on a traditional record player stands for what?
I have an idea. Do you guys have an idea?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The PM is fairly obvious, right?
Rotations.
Well, that's the R.
Yeah.
Could it be revolutions per minute? Rotations? I mean, you are rotating it.
A revolution is specific to like a circular object, right?
Well, a record is a flat circle. Like time.
I feel like when records were being made, they would have called it, they would be more likely to call it a revolution, right? Than a rotation. Like a rotation, I guess which one is more likely to be quantified? RPM.
Hmm. I was fairly certain of myself until you said something.
Mm. Yeah. So was I. Taylor, what's your read on this?
I'm leaning more towards revolutions, but if you ask me to give you a concrete reason why.
I'm a big fan of revolutions. I say we go with that one.
You say you want a revolution.
I say that you're full of shit.
Well, you know.
Revolutions per minute, I believe, is our final answer.
That is correct.
All right.
Revolutions per minute.
I also, in the back of my mind, I had this little inkling like, you used to think it was rotations, and then you read this once, and now you didn't need to know. But, of course, if I said that and then I was wrong, that would be just my typical performance on here, basically.
How do you differentiate between like a good gut feeling and a bad?
You really can't. That's the importance of the teamwork and the sus.
Malcolm Gladwell wrote a whole book about it, and it just comes down to you can't.
Outliers.
But I like going with it. I'll tell you that. I like going with the gut, even though it could be different. But yeah, sometimes on the podcast, we'll like use as a sussing technique, like, well, rate your confidence level. Are you like 100% confident on this?
Right.
If it comes down where neither person wants to give, you just got to kind of like try to figure out like, well, where's the confidence level here?
Right.
All right. I have another Terms of Venery for you guys. I capped it off last week with one, and I've got another one coming your way. If you might remember, a group of seagulls is called
a
murder. Hold on,
I remember
a flock.
No, it was hold on. It was a squabble.
Yes, that's right. A squabble of seagulls. Yes. In the Squictured Squeggers movie, The Squite House.
Our guess was a sea of seagulls, which would have been a cute answer.
Yeah, it would be. What kind of bird can be called an unkindness or a conspiracy in a group and is more skilled than parrots at mimicking human speech and can also replicate other sounds from the human world, such as car engines revving or even toilets flushing? What kind of bird is called an unkindness or a conspiracy in a group and is very good at mimicking sounds from the human world?
If you split their tongue in half, they can speak human English, perfect English, Queen's English.
I don't know if you need to do that. I think it's just natural.
I think you just do it.
You just split them?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, that's pretty, that is dark.
I don't know. I had some like old time folksy white dude who just like lived in a cabin in the woods tell me that if you split a raven's tongue, it'll speak English.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting.
Mockingbirds are also really good at replicating noises and human speech.
Nope, no one's going to do
that. But I don't think they're called.
Don't say.
An unkindness or conspiracy in a group.
I feel like that's ravens.
I feel like it's ravens.
What do you think, Mark?
I feel like I don't know. Ravens. I mean, so is it? I guess there's a pretty big difference between ravens and crows. This is going to be me sound like an idiot.
Crows are a murder. Yeah.
Right. That's why I was asking.
Unkindness is murder adjacent.
That's true. That's why. Just like the birds are alike.
Yeah.
So is murder and unkindness.
Yeah.
So ravens are kind of just like more polite.
Well, the most polite would be the Parliament of Owls, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
They discuss everything.
Also unkind, but...
Yeah, we'll go with ravens.
Okay.
Was it owls eat their prey whole? Is that
something
right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
So we're going to go with ravens.
Yes, that's so raven. Yes. And crows are just smaller versions of ravens, basically. Okay. It's kind of like a informal... You can call a raven a crow. A crow is probably... ravens are usually larger than crows, but they're very similar.
Like unkindness is a smaller version of murder.
I guess yeah, that's why. I guess that's why Edgar Allan Poe wrote that story.
It's the opposite Raven size, like, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
Crows are actually murderous too. I have personally witnessed little crows. Bastard. They eat smaller birds. They really do.
Yeah, birds vicious. They're basically dinosaurs.
I hope someone gets back to me on the splitting their tongue thing, because maybe I've been doing that for years unnecessarily.
Well, how many ravens do you know? Like, all of them speak English? Perfect English?
Not at liberty to answer that question.
I mean, I guess they could be speaking other languages too. There should be. Oh, we should get into.
I got
this.
One, like, that knows
Raven
Creole
translation.
Maybe it's a regional thing.
My Raven knows 21 distinct languages,
but he only speaks in dog.
You do enough DMT, anything will talk to you in English, I'm sure.
Just as a side note, too, terms of venery, you can also refer to those as collective nouns. I found out collective nouns. That's a bit more modern way of putting it. If you might remember,
you just like the word venery.
Terms of venery. It is from books such as The Art of Hunting and the Book of St. Albans from the 14th to 16th century, as mentioned in episode 59, Will You Plan It With Me? So go check that out. That's the episode with Juan on that.
Mr. Zach.
Hey, that's me.
It's your turn. Your time has come.
Oh, boy.
This is our kickoff question from Zach.
So I'm, like, not entirely caught up on the podcast, so I'm just really hoping you guys haven't asked these questions before and are just off the bat.
Oh, I hope you've asked them, because that would be an easy out.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy out. I have a question about Al-Qaeda, so I don't know how often that
fantastic
that first one ever, maybe?
Don't think we've ever asked an Al-Qaeda question, maybe once.
Dope. All right. Mohammed Atef, I hope I'm saying that right, was one of Osama bin Laden's, like, military generals, close friend also, I assume, you know, close friend of Ronald Reagan and all of them. And so he was pretty high up in the Taliban. And the Taliban actually had a special rule where Mohammed Atef and Osama bin Laden had to be on opposite teams when they engaged in what activity?
Opposite teams when they engaged in what activity?
Now, do you know the answers to these questions?
It's the first time I've heard this question.
Okay. So then you can suss with us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much help I'm going to be, but okay. I will absolutely participate.
You might be on a team if you're playing a sport or a game, right?
Right.
Opposite teams, sports and games. This is a sports and games question, really.
If you think about it.
Yeah, if you think
about
it. If
you really break it down, if you're going to categorize or subcategorize or sub-subcategorize this,
mm-hmm.
you might want to just go ahead and throw it into sports and games.
So what sport and game are they likely to be playing?
Soccer?
Soccer is one of the things first things I thought of, because it's just a popular worldwide game.
Mm-hmm.
I was also wondering if it wouldn't be something a little more dangerous.
The most dangerous game.
Human hunting.
Starring Ice-T.
Did
you ever see that movie? The Game?
You know what? I think I read about it.
Mm-hmm. It's based on the story.
Yeah, I read the book. Yeah, I didn't know Ice-T was in it.
It's a modern retelling. He's like a homeless guy in LA, and a bunch of, like, rich dudes, like, say, hey, come hunting with us this weekend, a remote cabin.
Yeah.
And then they hunt Ice-T. Nick Nolte's in it.
Yep.
Anyway, a dangerous game. Like what, Mark?
The purpose being, if one of the teams loses, if one of the people dies, or something happens to one of them, they're injured.
So you're thinking, like, Russian roulette?
Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily thinking Russian roulette, but...
You know what I was thinking? I don't know why this came... I don't know if this is something that I might have come across in the past and filed away, and I'm just having trouble recalling it, but the first image that came to my mind was basketball, actually.
I thought of basketball as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have any...
And the question that Zach asked did have some references to Americans in it. Ronald Reagan, you said?
Good friend of Osama bin Laden.
I think he was just making a
anti-Ronald
Reagan
could it
comment.
Be like
well, I mean, to be fair though, bin Laden did get support from the American government.
Well, let's get regional here.
Yeah.
Games that are big in the Middle East. Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Is cricket big in the Middle East?
I don't think so.
I know it is in India.
Yep, but I don't think.
I mean, I'm kind of
doesn't
fine.
Seem like a desert sport.
I'm kind of fine with just going with soccer.
Ugh. I just don't think it's soccer. I just got this feeling it's basketball.
Let's go with basketball then.
I mean, all right, fine. Let's go with basketball.
You go with that?
Taylor?
Sure.
We're going to go with basketball.
I don't know if you can play basketball in a cave.
Okay. Mm. It's a cave sport.
I don't know. You guys are on the right track.
No. We are?
Yeah. Do you want to?
Cave sport.
It's a good cave sport.
He's asking us to go back for cave sport. You could play basketball in a cave.
I guess you could play basketball in totally a cave. Do you want to lock that in?
Tetherball? Like,
I mean,
team sport in a cave? All right. I don't really want to go this direction, but another idea that I was thinking is maybe it's a video game. Maybe they played Halo or something, you know?
Well, like, so here's the
modern
thing.
Warfare.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Figure it out. Figure out what they're doing.
My viewpoint is it has to be a group sport. It can't be one-on-one. Otherwise, obviously, they'd always be on.
Oh, you've never played Capture the Flag in Halo? Yeah. Come on, man.
Okay, well, I guess that would be like, it could be like two-on-two or whatever.
Right. I don't think it's that, though. And he said we were barking up the right tree with, I don't know, some of these more mainstream sports like soccer or basketball, but can be played in a cave.
Well, it's not baseball.
Football, tennis, baseball. Seems all these seem ridiculous, playing in a cave.
Yeah.
Baseball in a cave. Take that shit outside. Knock over one of these stalactites.
Couples tennis.
Couples tennis. Ping pong. Table tennis.
Could be.
Billiards.
I honestly still Snooker. Like soccer if it's not basketball. I feel like you can play soccer and
yeah,
comfortably.
Sure. Soccer, I guess.
Go with soccer.
Soccer? Okay. Osama bin Laden, noted terrorist, avid volleyball fan.
Volleyball?
Yeah, because they're both like fucking 6'8" or something.
Okay.
I didn't know he was so tall.
Oh, yeah. He's a...
You always see him sitting.
Big dude.
Yeah.
He's always sitting.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was always sitting. Anyway, Taylor, a first question, if you don't mind.
All right. I'd like to preface this with these are the first 5 trivia questions I've ever written in my entire life. So
congratulations.
Not great. I apologize.
I like that.
We'll bring it back.
Yeah, maybe.
Now we remember.
You can always go back and punch it in. Mm-hmm. You can punch it up.
Yeah. You can't edit audio on a podcast.
That's not how this works. All right, we're ready.
All right. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Megatherium was a genus of what now extinct animal endemic to South America?
Megatherium.
Yes.
A lot of big words in that sentence that I don't know.
Now extinct animal?
Mm-hmm.
South America.
Would you like the whole question once more?
Sure.
Megatherium was a genus of what now extinct animal endemic to South America?
Well,
not much of a genius if he's extinct.
So, we've got Megalodon is a possibility in the water.
Yep.
I'm thinking something
in the sea.
Big.
Yep. It's it's got Meg right up front.
Yeah. Woolly mammoth.
Uh-huh. In South America?
I think those were in South America. No.
Those are in North America.
North America.
I like that. I mean, I had that idea, and I was like, that would be interesting if it was like a South American woolly mammoth, like down at the tip, you know?
So I will add the caveat.
At the tip, just the tip.
That some, I read that some species actually wound up migrating as far north as North America.
Well, that tells me that it might be woolly mammoth. That might be a
I have an educated guess, not based on actual animals. Also, just I don't know her.
Where is this coming
question.
From?
I don't know her.
Her love of sloths, and I feel like she would
sloth.
Sneak. Yeah, ground sloth or a bear sloth or something.
Sloths are not
endemic to sloth either.
But there are huge 6 foot, 7 foot, 10 foot tall sloths.
Bear sloths
that are no longer around.
Yeah,
okay. Like the ground sloth.
Ground sloth. That's it.
Yeah. They didn't live in trees. I love that.
Ferocious hunters.
I love that.
Yeah, woolly mammoth is kind of like a sloth.
If you think about it, yeah.
They got the same droopy hair.
That cube shaped poop.
Yeah.
That's koalas.
Cube shaped poop?
Koalas.
I don't think that's sloths.
Why?
Sloths do only poop once a week, though.
Mm-hmm. Because it's very dangerous.
Almost like that Easter thing we were talking
about. It's very dangerous for them to poo because they have to go down to the base of the tree. And then Mark hates this right now.
Get back up.
He's like,
No, I'm just. So are we...
They're susceptible to predation at the bottom of the tree, basically.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love... And it sounds kind of familiar in my sloth research that I've done this name.
You do know quite a bit about sloths.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, that's not a bad, you know, the Quizmaster, we've heard, players try to pick our, what would Mark have as an answer
WWMD.
Here? What would Lee have as an answer here? And that's what you're doing right now, Zach. So let's go with it. Let's go with sloth.
Okay.
What do you think? Are we in?
I'm in, sure. Yeah.
Final answer?
Yes.
And what is the final answer? Sloth?
Sloth.
Sloth. Ground sloth?
Ground sloth. Yeah.
Ground sloth.
Ground sloth.
Okay. The giant ground sloth.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Actually, I didn't know this for the longest time, but we have a sloth painting of yours hanging in our bedroom.
Oh, that's
an
awesome.
Original Brushnetta?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Brushnetta, yeah.
You can get your own sloth print at brushnetta.com.
Yeah. We are chomping at the bit to buy the bird with the biggie crown as well.
Oh, nice. That's, yeah. Which sloth print do you have?
He's like underwater.
It? Ooh, yeah.
He's swimming. He's underwater. I also have an interesting. Tell me if I'm wrong. I have a take on your slurth.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at it last night, and I realized there's a full moon behind him, right?
Yes.
And so, I have posited the existence of a were-sloth. And the face he's making, right, is because the torment that he experiences every full moon when he has to turn into a sloth.
I can neither confirm nor deny the were-sloth theory right now. But I'm glad you enjoy those. Yeah, thank you.
All right, here's your second question. Who gushingly accepted her Oscar with, "I can't deny that you like me. You like me." You guys may have seen the video. You really like me.
Who fucking is that?
I think I have an idea.
Okay, I don't.
What's your idea?
I think the movie is Fried Green Tomatoes, and I think the actress is Sally Field.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I'm honestly useless on any like movie culture questions.
I'm almost certain on this. Maybe not the movie, but I'm almost certain it's Sally Field. And that was a well-acclaimed movie. And I feel like I can just see her face in my mind saying that.
You like go with me. It? You really, really like me.
I do. I really, really do.
Sally Field.
I have nothing better.
You're correct.
All right.
Slam that keyboard.
Do you guys
slam that first round?
Do you guys have the air horn sound effect?
I know.
I have it on my phone.
We have a negative one, which we'll play once we get one wrong next time. We've been on a roll though.
Is that where the woman laughs at us at the end?
Yes, that is the one and same.
Oh God, I love being ridiculed.
We'll see how you do on this geography question. The geographic center of the 48 contiguous states lies in what Midwestern city, which shares its name with a Western Asian country that borders Syria? The geographic center of the lower 48 is in what Midwestern city, which shares its name with a Western Asian country that borders Syria?
Isn't there a city in some state called Lebanon?
Indiana.
Mm.
Lebanon, Indiana, right?
And Ohio? That's a really good answer.
I know this from a Kurt Vonnegut book. Right? I'm trying to remember which one. It's not.
Lebanon's a great answer because you wouldn't think of it as being an Asian.
Yeah.
I just don't know what state it is for the life of me.
Maybe.
Well, you want the city or the state?
I did ask for the city.
Yeah.
Lebanon.
So it doesn't matter.
Lebanon borders Syria, right?
Yeah, we're going to say Lebanon.
Yay! Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
Is it Indiana?
It is Kansas.
Kansas.
Lebanon, Kansas.
Lebanon, Kansas.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good job.
What fucking book is
there the first time?
He calls it the Asshole of America. It's not Slaughterhouse 5. It's the Asshole Breakfast of America.
How can that be the Asshole of America when Tallahassee is the taint?
It's right here. Yeah.
Tallahassee, that's a Stephen Colbert joke.
You're getting a getting a bird's eye back end view.
Yeah.
Kind of
I see that.
All of America is
now
a butt.
I see how it's going. I see how it's working now. The asshole, Lebanon, Kansas. The asshole. Also the geographic center, as it is in our bodies.
ZCC, are you ready to give us another question? Boy, I know you're reaching for that spicy water, but...
You done with ZCC?
Yeah, you know me.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the presidents.
Okay.
So this might be easy. I'm not going to say this. This is a hint. So what U.S. president, probably best known by his friends and families for a prank that he used to pull, where he had bought a German amphicar, which is half car and half boat. He would not tell anyone that it was an amphicar and drive them straight into the fucking lake.
First of all, I don't know who this is, but I love this.
All right. So it has to be somewhat modern president.
Right. Mm-hmm. George Washington.
America's first gay president.
Taylor, any ideas here?
Well, I'm wondering when, like, because, you know, I don't think you see any amphicars rolling around anymore. So I wonder, like, how late those were popular. Like, what time frame were they most popular? That's my line of thinking there.
I'm thinking the 70s, 80s, when Disney had them, you know, at their parks. That probably increased the popularity, I think.
80s, 90s. Who's this kind of guy?
I'll tell you who I think is this kind of guy.
Is it Jimmy Carter?
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe, though. I think it was the guy that came before my president's order is all messed up, but I think it's the guy that came before Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford.
Kind of unremarkable in personality-wise. And he was, I know he was a younger athlete. So, you know, bit of a knucklehead personality. Hey, we're going to go for a drive.
Okay.
Gerald Ford. I feel like I might have read about this story at one point, too. And again, my mind palace this week doesn't seem so ruined.
A little less ruined.
Yeah, a little less ruined this week.
Yeah, how do you feel about Gerald Ford?
I think it's a solid...
Jimmy Carter guess. Strikes me like I'd feel bad about scaring someone like that. Gerald Ford.
Yeah, all right, we'll go with Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford was a model before he became president.
Oh, wasn't he a lifeguard, though, too?
Probably.
That was Ronald Reagan.
He walked so that Donald Trump could run. Not straight into a lake, though. The correct answer, also known for whipping his dick out and making his Secret Service look at it, is Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Ooh.
So... the amphicar, I wanted to say something when you were like, I don't really see too many of those going around right now, because it's always been a dream of mine to have a car that also functions as a boat.
Yeah.
There was only about 4,000 of them made in Germany in whatever time period that was. And LBJ got his hands on a blue one and would just drive people around his, I think, Fort Worth ranch and be like, oh, no, I've lost control of the car. We're heading straight for the lake.
That's amazing.
Right, the GPS told me to turn right. We're going to turn right.
And the passenger's like, what the fuck is GPS?
And he also famously recorded for talking about his long ball sack.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a White House line. He is talking to his tailor. No offense, Taylor. Other kind of tailor.
Mm-hmm.
Not his person,
yeah.
Taylor.
Yeah.
But his tailor. Amazing. Taylor.
Zachary, yeah, Taylor.
About his, he needed more room in his crotch area.
Yep.
For his huge balls.
Reason.
All right, Taylor.
All right. you guys ready? So ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
Yeah. All right. Which bird chosen to represent seven states is the most popular U.S. state bird? It is the state bird of Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Can I just say that I love the fact that you wrote your questions down on paper?
This is my work notebook.
I love it.
I love it. Thanks.
There, and now it's your Quizmaster notebook.
Everybody else is just like, oh, phones, but you're just like opening up this book.
You can hear the rustle of the
old
paper.
School. I love it.
It just literally pains me to write nowadays. If I have to write out a lot, I'm like, my hands.
Yeah, I know. My hand's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
If I write, you can't read it.
I can't wait to see the jellied masses that we turn into in the coming ages.
Our tapping muscles will be really strong, though.
All yours.
I'm all thumbs.
Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia,
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Kentucky and Ohio, too.
Yeah, who gives a shit about Kentucky or Ohio? What kind of bird?
I just have to shut up because I found something in my mind place in the wrong spot now. So my confidence is just at a zero. St. Louis Cardinals. That's Missouri, right?
St. Louis is Missouri. That's the first thing. And I was thinking
not
of.
That was not in that list.
Some kind of jay.
I was thinking like maybe a blue jay.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're popular. Orioles. That's Maryland. Was that on the state list?
Or
no.
Okay. So probably not Orioles. Blue jays are popular birds anyway.
Right. They're everywhere. Toronto.
Mm-hmm. But
Falcon?
Toronto's up there in the north where a lot of these states are. Illinois. Chicago. Illinois.
Blackhawk?
Indiana.
I like Blue Jay.
I kind of do, too.
It's not the bald eagle.
I just feel it's a popular bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I think of popular birds, I think of Cardinals and I think of Blue Jays. And I think Cardinals have to be Missouri. So I feel it's probably going to be a Blue Jay.
I feel I'm good with it.
You want to go with that?
Yeah, sure.
We're going to go with Blue Jay.
You guys were close. It was a cardinal. Northern cardinal, otherwise known as just a cardinal. I wanted to say that I saw one today. Because you have that little cat thing that in
means
the basket.
That means a dead person is visiting you.
Sweet. Well, it wasn't a real cardinal.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Well, that so means, a fake dead person.
Yeah, fake dead person.
I don't know what to believe now.
Jeffrey Epstein? I know it's not the brown thrasher because that's Georgia. It's the only state bird I know.
Mm. All right. Well, that means everybody did two questions.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break and come back for round number two.
We're back. Before we get to our questions in round two, we have some miscorrections.
Miscorrections.
Perfect.
That sounded like the demons in my brain.
Yeah, the whisper and the demon, the demonic voice.
The darkness.
Perfect.
The darkness. All right, first of all, correcting myself, Janis Joplin's band was not called The Electric Company. Do you guys know what it was called?
No.
I was close. The Electric Factory, ironically.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically super enough, it's ironically called The Electric Factory. So maybe that has something to do with it. Also correcting myself, the director of Starship Troopers is Paul Verhoeven, not Paul Vanderhoeven. Paul Vanderhoeven is a sports writer for the London Free Press.
I knew the name sounded familiar.
Mm-hmm. Paul Verhoeven directed Starship Troopers along with RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct, and Showgirls.
Ooh, holy shit.
Yep. Correcting Dallas, The Flying Dutchman was not written by anyone named Ricardo Walker. No, that would be Richard Wagner. Richard Wagner. Yes, he wrote The Flying Dutchman, which I did read up on a little bit. It was seen as like a level up for the composer, like his breakout, you know, change of style. But he totally abandoned the style of that in his later years. I guess it's kind of like Pablo Honey by Radiohead. You know, like, ooh, who's this? Oh, now you're going to work in a totally different style. Okay, cool. From John Grupp on our Facebook group, he says, was listening to this episode the night before Halloween. Is also known as Devil's Night. It's a regional thing, I guess.
Indeed.
So, Mischief Night, Devil's Night.
Yeah, we just watched The Crow, and that's...
Yeah, The Crow.
Oh, okay.
The big place where that's used, but yeah, it's definitely regional.
We got a no note from Eric, a.k.a. Fro. He says, not so much a missed correction, but more of a clarification. Houdini didn't get punched on Halloween. He only died on Halloween. He was punched in the abdomen several times a little over a week before. The guy asked if he didn't believe in the feats in the Bible were true, and then asked if it was true, then he couldn't be hurt by being punched in the gut. The guy punched him several times while Houdini was sitting in a chair. He had a show days later and refused medical treatment despite knowing he had appendicitis. His last words were, I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to keep fighting anymore.
Jesus.
Yeah, same. It's like Taylor fighting with these allergies over here. Walked into Cat Central. What movie did Judge Reinhold play a judge in? Or, I'm sorry. Yes.
You know, it's funny. I almost made this a question for this week, so I'm glad I didn't.
Did you look it up?
No.
Hmm. Do you guys know?
I have no idea.
We asked that we posed this question, but we never resolved
it. I'm going to guess My Cousin Vinny.
No.
I know there was a judge in that.
Nope. What was the name of that judge? He had the Southern drawl. That wasn't Judge Reinhold though. No, Judge Reinhold never played a judge in a movie, but he did play a courtroom judge on two TV shows.
Okay.
One of which would be Clerks, the animated series.
Okay.
And the other, more recently, Arrested Development.
Oh.
Yep. So that's probably where we were all trying to pull it from, the Arrested Development scene. And then finally, we have a missed correction on our last Rate My question, the Dolly the Sheep question by Taylor.
Hold on, real quick. Mm-hmm. I gave you a missed correction for myself.
You did?
You didn't mention.
Oh, please.
It was a small one, but I said conflation when I meant to say inflation.
Oh, yeah. I don't even count that. I didn't even pick up on that. Yeah. All right, so it's clearing the record here. You meant to say inflation of ego, not a
conflation of ego.
Not a conflation
of ego, and I don't know why I did that, but I did, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you keep bringing it up, and I keep getting confused over what a conflation of ego would be.
Seems like you're conflating your ego. It sounds beautiful,
but it's nonsense. It's total nonsense.
All right, now let's get to this Dolly thing.
Yes, okay, so Taylor writes, Dolly the Sheep's DNA came from a mammary cell, hence her namesake, Dolly Parton, which you did mention. As a possible answer. Now, I'll say a link was included that contained this statement. This is in the intro of the article that Taylor sent in. Dolly was cloned from a cell taken from the mammary gland of a 6-year-old Finn Dorset sheep and an egg cell taken from a Scottish blackface sheep. She was born to her Scottish blackface surrogate mother on 5th of July, 1996. Dolly's whiteface was one of the first signs that she was a clone. Because if she was genetically related to her surrogate mother, she would have had a black face. How inappropriate, Dolly. Because Dolly's DNA came from a mammary gland cell, she was named after the country singer Dolly Parton. So that is in the introduction of the article that Taylor sent. But the link also contains this statement under the section header. Why was Dolly so important? Which is, as I was browsing the article, I stopped there. And the first sentence of that statement was, Dolly was important because she was the first mammal to be cloned from an adult cell. Hmm. So that's what I first read when scanning the article. If we take a look at Taylor's question one more time, it is, named for country music singer Dolly Parton, Dolly the sheep was the world's first cloned mammal. From what type of cell did her DNA originate? So, I would say that mammary and adult are both acceptable answers for that question, because they're both mentioned, at least in the context of that article. First it says cloned from a mammary cell, and then later it says notable for being the first to be cloned from an adult cell. So unless that statement is scientifically inaccurate and the writer messed up, I would say that both of those would be acceptable answers to that question.
Indeed.
Yeah. So let's see here. When I search for types of cell on Google, mammary cell is not even in the top 15 responses of what comes back. Stem cell, however, is the second.
Of course.
So that's kind of, I think, where the brain starts to go when you start thinking about type of cells, not necessarily like where on the body they come from.
Right.
So maybe there could be a way that you could rewrite this question to kind of direct it towards that answer. If you want to do mammary, you maybe go for more of a locational hint rather than what type is it. So for the hard version of this that I wrote would be Dolly the sheep was the first creature cloned from a cell that was taken from where in the body.
Yeah. That's a good
way to put it. Or you could say Dolly the sheep was the first creature cloned from a cell that was taken from which organ of the body. So there you're indicating a mammary, you know, it's an organ. Right. So you get a little bit more of a hint. Or the easy version, Dolly the sheep was the first creature cloned from a cell that was taken from which organ of the body?
Which inspired part of the body? Would you call the organ?
Yeah. Tissue. And
yes, so it's an organ. I looked it up.
I feel like that's not the harder version, because like if you know two things about Dolly Parton, you can probably put together that it's...
Well, I'm saying mammary. The easiest one, it says... inspired by her namesake.
Okay.
So you're just saying it's inspired. What part of the human body inspired by her namesake? So you're thinking Dolly. What is Dolly? Dolly means Dolly Parton. What are some characteristics of Dolly Parton?
I don't know I knew that Dolly the sheep was named after Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It gets you thinking about it, though. Yeah, right. You know, it has even more hints. So, I just think, you know, if mammary is the answer, it could just be worded in a way. You know, I'm not going to be as harsh as Kylian was on this question, but I'm still giving it probably like a B unless it has some kind of rewrite, you know, that directs it towards there. So, any thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you. Also, ma'am, not short for mammary. Ma'am is a truncation of madame.
That makes way more sense.
Which, with the apostrophe especially, is deleting the D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, duh.
Take the D out. Put an apostrophe in.
Ooh.
I don't know about taking the D out.
So now I'm just thinking about Dolly Parton doing blackface.
Okay. She could run for Prime Minister of Canada in that case. If you'd like to write us a miscorrection or rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or find us on social media and post it there.
And Zach, it is your turn
to
ask a question. I caught you unawares.
Woefully unprepared. I was trying to scratch my neck.
Not today. Not like this.
Okay. So I wrote like 7 questions just in case I needed to like switch things around, like something had been asked before.
All right.
So I'm going to ask you guys, has anybody seen Watchmen yet on HBO?
I haven't seen the TV show, no.
Yes.
You've seen the TV show?
Yes.
You like it?
I think my last... words on the last episode was the show is actually crap, I think was what I said out loud after it ended.
Wow.
Okay. But I found it intriguing at first.
Okay.
But third episode in, I think I've got 2 more in me before I totally give up on it. Okay. But yeah.
A lot of people love it.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. This is surprising. Do you think of are you a fan of the soundtrack, the score that's going on it?
I hated the score to the last episode. I said they use the same theme like 8 times and it sounds like that the score at the end of 28 Days Later, and I love that. But it's just like they just leaned on the theme.
Zach just grabbed his heart.
I know. And I just thought this last episode, some of the most cliche writing. I can see why Alan Moore is like, please don't piss on my open grave.
So now that we've got you all about the Watchmen.
So the score's, you know, done by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Oh, it sounds kind of like and that's funny band. Because I thought it sounded like a Nine Inch Nails ripoff. So that's funny.
Okay, yeah. Kind of ripping off themselves 30 years in the career.
Surprisingly, it's actually Nine Inch Nails.
Okay, so Nine Inch Nails is doing the score for the soundtrack, which is, you know, I'm a really big Alan Moore fan. Like I said, he's my favorite wizard that I know of. But my question, I'm just going to jump right into it. I've lost my place. The 2005 album With Teeth, he, you know, made it right after he got sober. So a lot of people sort of critically panned it. I personally am a really big fan. Trent Reznor is like a noted multi-instrumentalist. He plays just a metric shit ton of instruments, except for the drums. He has always been a shit drummer. You can hear it. Like, he does the drums on Piggy on the Downward Spiral, and it's not good. So he brought in a guest to do With Teeth with him. So my question is, what famous drummer did the drums on all but like 6 tracks of With Teeth? Most notably, Every Day Is Exactly the Same.
And you're looking right at me.
Yeah, well, Mr. Drummer.
Right.
Filling in for people who can't play drums.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of your job.
I don't know.
We will say we're now left without Taylor. Taylor had to run in an emergency.
She doesn't know this one.
Sorry about that. Yeah. So it's just down to me and Mark Sussin at this moment.
Well,
I'll tell you who I think is a frequent guest drummer in this time period. Dave Grohl, who's everywhere, playing drums for Tenacious D, Queens of the Stone Age, I think he was playing for them. He was doing that Sound City thing. I think Trent Reznor pulled him in. That was probably a couple years later
then
than
Crooked Lateef. Vultures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Sound City is. Are you thinking Desert Sessions, where he did with Jordy White?
No, Sound City was this thing he did with, he played with Paul McCartney and a couple of other people.
It's like a supergroup album.
Yeah. It was a documentary that he did about a
soundboard
studio. Well, a studio in LA, and specifically the soundboard that was used at that studio. It's where Fleetwood Mac recorded when they first came to LA and all this other stuff. And I remember being really pissed off because I was like, oh, he's going to like save this soundboard and keep it. But I think he ended up to like selling it or something.
Well, yeah.
Or no. I thought he was going to save the studio. But he just saved the soundboard, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, so he bought the soundboard and then brought in a bunch of musicians to record a album of original music, like supergroup style. Yeah, every track is basically like a different band.
Okay.
So it's kind of like this strange meta concept
Leonard
album.
Leonard Kravitz.
Yeah. And then that became a documentary on HBO, a miniseries called Sonic Highways. I think that was somewhat related.
Where Foo Fighters went to all these different towns.
The Zac Brown Band.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the history in each town. Well, the first person that's coming to mind for me, and I don't know if this is like more insider baseball, is Josh Fries, who's played with the Vandals and a lot of punk bands, and I believe for a time played with Nine Inch Nails live.
I think right before 2005, this album, I think he was playing with them on the
I don't know if that's just like maybe not a well enough known drummer that it wouldn't be asked. If it would be the reason it would be asked is because the drummer would be more well known, like a Dave Grohl.
Did you say legendary drummer?
I said famous.
Famous drummer. Okay. I mean, that's famous.
I mean, Josh Fries is famous to me. If you go to his Wikipedia article.
He has a Wikipedia.
The amount
article.
Of stuff that he has enough. Played on. He's like our generation. He's like the drummer of our generation's Wrecking Crew. You know, like he is just
your man in the pocket.
He plays everything or plays on everything.
Mm-hmm. The kind of person you would call up if you were Trent Reznor.
Yeah. I mean, it could very, very, very well be Dave Grohl, but I don't remember hearing about it.
Only because he's done so much.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like you're right. If Dave Grohl was on it, it probably would have made like a headline.
Like I heard about him doing all that other stuff and I knew about it. I didn't know about this.
Yep.
Excuse me. So it could be that it. Yeah. Gee, every time you say it, I'm going to burp. So it may be that it happened and that I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that. It didn't happen.
I feel like I'm going to acquiesce to your insider knowledge here. I feel better.
I mean,
Dave Grohl was a guess out of pure speculation of who's guest drumming a lot in that era.
You know, I mean, let's think of famous drummers. Joey Jordison from Slipknot.
Jimmy Chamberlain. Mm-hmm.
Famous drummer.
Yeah.
Someone that people know.
Chad Smith.
Lars Ulrich. Chad Smith.
From the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Indeed. Neil Peart.
Hmm. You know, with Teeth in 2005?
Just trying to think of drummers that are famous, that like constitute as famous drummers. Josh Fries just...
They've played together before.
Scratches that itch.
Mm-hmm. Let's go with it.
We're going to go with Josh Fries.
Josh Fries played drums for the live tour for With Teeth. Dave Grohl played drums.
I'm sorry.
On the recording of the album.
I'm sorry.
I'm actually a really big Vandals fan. I did not know that he played drums for the Vandals.
Yeah.
Maybe not a really big time. Vandals fan. But
I think that's kind of like how he like broke into.
That's how he got into it.
To doing it. I'd never heard that. I guess famous drummer should have just been the.
Yeah, I thought you got it right away. And I was like, fuck, I should have gone with my other Nine Inch Nails question. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, again, like Josh Fries is a famous drummer. I think the people that know music he may be.
Right. I did know that he played with them during a tour. So that's why, that's another reason why I was willing to go along with it.
You know, Josh Freese was a really good guest, mm-hmm. for sure. Yep.
Wow. Very interesting. But we were.
Perfect.
Good question, though, Zach.
Oh, thanks.
I like
good Nin question.
Got a couple of them.
Oh, no more, please.
Not for right now. Yeah.
I thought you were going to ask a Watchmen question.
Oh, no.
I was like ready for to. I was like, is he going to ask? Because I don't think they. Well, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil the new season for anyone. But
what is the name of Mars's largest moon?
Titan? Or is that Jupiter?
That's Jupiter. And I believe Ganymede is also one of Jupiter's moons. Yeah. Mars's largest moon. The Margest moon.
Volta.
If you will. Volta?
I have no idea.
The Mars Volta.
It's a band. It would be interesting if they named themselves after some kind of astronomical
Mars's
lunar
largest,
thing.
If your last name is Volta and you have a son and you name him Lars, you win. The Lars Volta.
If your last name is Molta and name him Vars, Vars Molta.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't for those terrible jokes. That was because I don't know the answer at all.
Yeah.
Not sure. I mean, I want to say Aries, but that's just another
name for Mars. Name for Mars, right?
So that would be silly.
See, again, I thought you were just like stringing me along. I think you knew the answer.
No, I think I knew at one point, but this is not an area that I'm up to date on by astronomy.
What's the name of the mountain on Mars? Would it share the name of the moon?
Mount Mars
Vesuvius.
Mount Mars. Mount Marsuvius.
Mars and its biggest moon, Bars.
Don't know.
The name of the mountain, Zach? I believe, is Mons Olympius.
Something like that.
Is that correct?
I think so.
Something like that. Olympia. The name of Mars' largest moon. Do you give up?
Yep.
It's a Titan.
Is Phobos.
Phobos. Wow. The god of fear.
Phobos.
Named for the god of fear. Phobos. All right, well, I'm disappointed in myself, but what can you do? All right, I've got a question for you guys. Cats and literature. Ooh. Cats and literature.
Literature.
Hello. According to an obituary of the character's creator, published in the Los Angeles Times, what orange cartoon cat was named after a fictional character in Emily Bronte's novel, Wuthering Heights?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure, here it is one more time. According to an obituary of the character's creator, published in the Los Angeles Times, what orange cartoon cat was named after a fictional character in Emily Bronte's novel, Wuthering Heights?
Those heights were just so...
They were wuthering.
There are two famous orange cats that come off the dome right off.
Right. Is that too easy, though? Garfield?
Well, I think Jim Davis is still alive. However, tragedy. Heathcliff, he's the one terrorizing everyone. Heathcliff, no one should terrorize the neighborhood. I don't remember how the theme goes. But there's Heathcliff, and Heathcliff sounds like the name of something that would be on Wuthering Heights.
Because of the cliffs?
Sure.
Full of Heath.
So Wuthering.
I've not read the book.
Have you ever seen Heathcliff?
No.
Doesn't that sound like a British name?
Yeah.
Emily
I think
Bronte.
Of Heathcliff Huxtable, which has a slightly different connotation at this time.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
The house is shaking. Other orange cats other than that. It's definitely not Garfield.
It's not Garfield. Jim Davis is still alive.
I think Jim Davis is still alive. Okay. I don't know if the creator of Heathcliff is dead, but let's just hope so.
Praying to God that guy's dead.
Why are you going to make a cat that's living in a fucking junkyard, you asshole?
It's animal abuse.
Seriously.
My heights are Wuthering with that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I Wuthering Heights. Here comes Heathcliff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the best I got, I think. I can't think of any other orange cats.
Yeah, sure.
I think Heathcliff is orange. Is he?
Again, I...
Now I'm just... Yeah, let's go with Heathcliff.
That's correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Heathcliff is the answer. Creator George Gallagher passed away in October of 2001. It's not Garfield. Jim Davis alive and well, still making those classic strips. And, of course, there is no Garfield character in Wuthering Heights. There is a Heathcliff character, though, one of the central characters.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
So you basically worked that question out just how I had it written. You were like, all right, alive, dead.
Cool.
Is that it?
No, no, I think no. I think Zach has a second question for us.
Here
now.
We go.
I think Zach has a question. I have some options here. What famous Georgia chicken restaurant was founded?
So quiet.
By Zach McElroy and Tony Townley.
What did you say?
What did you say to me?
What famous Georgia chicken restaurant? Mm-hmm. Was founded by Zach McElroy.
This is a lie. This is a chain.
Tony Townley. Yes.
Okay. Churches. Bojangles. It's not KFC.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Oldest Chick-fil-A ever is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
I seemed it, Mark. Oh. I seemed it.
I went to the 100th Waffle House.
Mm. Where was that? Maine?
In Georgia.
Georgia? Georgia's got
Georgia.
All the restaurants. The 100th Waffle House and the first Chick-fil-A. That's what I'm thinking.
You want to say Chick-fil-A? Should mm-hmm. we even fuck around with the
it
others?
It could be some of the others, but Mark, I've seen it with my own eyes. You've I know Chick-fil-A came from Georgia. I also know that recently they got kicked out of their first UK store by a local LGBTQ activist group. The first Chick-fil-A opened in the United Kingdom. They were open for like 3 weeks, and then due to complaints, closed their doors due to, you know, the CEO's rhetoric, wish-washiness about some of their campaign contributions towards some groups that demote people that subscribe to those lifestyles. And are those people? Chick-fil-A, I think, is the answer.
We're going to say Chick-fil-A.
So, you know, what's really funny is that my other, like, food question was going to be a Waffle House question about Joe Rogers. The 100th Waffle House and the first Waffle House are both in Georgia.
Hmm.
The Dwarf House is the first Chick-fil-A in, I believe, Milledgeville, Georgia, founded by Truett Cathy. Zach McElroy and Tony Townley started Zaxby's
oh,
in Statesboro, Georgia.
Motherfucker, I didn't even think about Zaxby's. And I love
it. It was
Zaxby's.
Right there. It was right there in front
Zach.
Of us.
It's right in my name, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hate Zaxby's. But I hope they're not a sponsor.
Once again, my mind palace in ruins. In ruins.
You just clamped on.
I did. Mark, do we have a quick second question from you?
Oh, yeah. For some reason, I thought we already did the second round. Second question. What was Che Guevara's first name?
Che, next question.
Is it Lou? Lou Che Guevara? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know this. He's Cuban.
Cesar?
Right?
Cesar?
He is Cuban, right?
Yeah. Some iteration of that.
Cesar? That's not a bad guess.
And like I could understand why you would change that.
Mm-hmm.
Che, of course, was his nickname.
Yeah.
Michelle?
You may have seen him from a shirt in the mall. Known for his guerrilla warfare.
My chest tattoo. Training gorillas to fight his wars.
Che is his nickname.
So if it's like a shortening of a name.
Mm-hmm.
He was Argentinian.
Argentinian.
But he was a major figure in the Cuban Revolution.
Yeah, I could see it being like Michelle.
Mm.
Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Cesar Chavez is why Cesar popped up in my head. So I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
Cheyenne. Cesare, also Caesar. More Italian than Spanish.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, Michelle sounds reasonable.
His name was Adolf, and he decided to change it.
This is not a good look.
Yeah.
Got to do something about this name.
Right.
Michelle?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be maybe more known. I don't know. Kind of like how Richard Gere's middle name is Tiffany. Yeah. You just, once you hear that, you don't forget.
You can't forget. Never forget. Richard Tiffany Gere. Michelle.
Guerrero. My Bill.
Michelle Guerrero.
I don't know. I just don't have a better guess, and I have no idea. It could be anything.
If it's Caesar, I'm going to feel dumb. But, like, I know Michelle is, like, a popular men's name
around the world. And the shortening makes sense.
Yeah.
Caesar does not make any sense to shorten it that way.
Unless it's, like, Cesare or something.
Right. Because
I don't know Spanish. I don't know how the language works.
I think our answer is Michelle.
Michelle? I'm good with that.
The answer is Ernesto.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for telling us his nickname is Che.
So he acquired his famous nickname due to his frequent use of the Argentine filler syllable Che, which is a multi-purpose discourse marker like the syllable A in Canadian English.
Hmm. Or like. It's his middle name
is a verbal crutch.
Like, yeah.
Oh, you want to fight the resistance, Che? Like,
you want to say fight the resistance, Che?
So it doesn't have anything to do with his name or anything like that. He just used to just say it all the time as a filler at the end of,
he would say it.
Yeah.
Okay. So other people were like nicknaming him that because he had this particular.
Like you say it all the time. So it'd be like naming a Canadian A, because they say A all the time.
It's a good thing our podcasters don't get to name us like that, because our names would be like my next question for you guys. Greek islands is the category. What Greek island is located northeast of Crete, southeast of Athens, and once featured a colossus, one of the seven wonders of the world?
Well, buddy, I'm here to tell you I only have like two islands I can think of.
And one of them is Crete.
No.
Oh.
Corsica.
Okay.
And Cyprus. I don't even know if they're islands, but all of them start with C.
Like, I'm pretty positive Cyprus is an island, and it sounds like there would be a colossus there. I'm trying to think of fucking Attack of the Titans. Just because I know I'm pretty sure Corsica's an island. I just don't know is it Greek for sure? Or is it Spain?
What are the two? All right, off of Italy, there's Sicily and isn't there another one?
Is that Corsica?
That's what I'm thinking. It might be something like that. Crete is a really good guess.
Well, he said it's north of Crete.
Oh, you said Crete.
So,
cause I'm a Crete.
I'm an island.
Where the hell am I located?
Where's my colossus? I miss my colossus.
I'm cool with Cyprus. I saw a sign on my way here today. It said Cyprus.
Well, it's just a...
Don't give away my geolocation!
Cyprus High School.
I live not in the Cyprus.
Cyprus High School is the reason that we're going to guess Cyprus.
Mm. No, it is not Cyprus. It is a island that shares its name with a type of electric piano, if that helps.
Moog.
Maybe it was an additional hint.
Well, it's pronounced Moog.
The Moog Islands.
And it's named after Bob Moog.
Named after the island.
Electric piano. So there's Rhodes.
Rhode Island. Rhodes Island.
It is Rhodes Island. Yes, that's right. It is Rhodes Island. Rhodes.
Okay.
Rhodes is right. Yeah. Sorry, I just felt like you guys got it and then you were silent. So I was like, all right, I guess they're just going to land here.
I was making a joke, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Rhodes.
Holy shit, I didn't know that was
the Colossus of Rhodes was the seven one of the worlds.
Jesus Christ. Yep. Oh. When you say Colossus of Rhodes, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's one of the wonders of the world, isn't it?
Right. Yep. That was in my question.
Yeah.
I said, once featured a Colossus, one of the seven wonders of the world.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe if I said seven wonders of the ancient world, my bad.
No. I was just, I'm just now putting it all together.
Gotcha. You're good for the second round, right? Or the last round?
Yeah.
Okay. you look like you're running out. No. All right.
I don't know why that was just so like, I don't know. I guess I never pieced together Colossus of Rhodes being maybe just phonetically. I always thought like Rhodes.
It's like at an intersection.
Like there
go on down.
So many big roads.
You see the Colossus, just then you make a right.
Roads, and there's just like a big tall dude.
Follow the aqueduct until you get to the Colossus.
But I never knew that Rhodes was a.
You
want to
stay off
island.
The Colossus roads make after a- like five. Traffic's a nightmare.
All right. Let's take a break.
Yes.
And then let's come back with a rate my question.
I was going to skip it, but let's do it. Let's do one.
We got Zach here.
We got him.
Let's let him put some input.
Thanks, guys.
And then we'll do a last question.
Just happy to be included.
So we're going to get into our last questions, but before that, we have a rate my question.
Rate my question.
This one's from Gil.
It's Gil.
Gil writes, which planet in our solar system is the closest to every other planet in our solar system for most of the time? Wrap your head around one, gentlemen. Which planet in our solar system is the closest to every other planet in our solar system for most of the time? It's kind of a bit of a hub planet. This planet knows all the other planets very well. It's like, you want to talk to Pluto? I see Pluto, 30% of the time. 45% of the time, I'm hanging out with Neptune.
Okay.
So the phrasing here is kind of weird.
He does have a little clarification. So he says, due to the every planet's orbit, it is not always the closest, but it is closest most of the time to every other planet. For example, Earth's closest neighbor is Venus when their respective orbits align, but sometimes Mars is Earth's closest neighbor. So we have these
but I guess
elliptical
my
orbits, right?
Right. So
which causes Neptune certain planets to be closer to the others at different times.
Yeah.
So he wants to know which one is closest in proximity to all of the other planets for the most amount of time. This is truly an accomplishment for this planet.
otherwise nondescript planet.
Yeah. It's just one factor of it. And he does have a source and an answer link here. Two links for this one. So what do you guys think? I don't know a lot about the elliptical paths of the planet. I know that there's some that are very skinny. So, they go way out there.
I'm inclined to say Jupiter for two reasons.
Okay.
One, it's big.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I'm misunderstanding something, but I feel like Mercury couldn't be it. Because it's always very far away from, Neptune.
Right.
Jupiter is, pretty equal distance from Mercury and from, Uranus or Pluto, if you're counting it or whatever.
And its size means it's not going to be flung as far.
And it's bigger, so it's, closer on both sides, it seems.
Yeah.
So my thing about the question is, are we taking... the aggregate distance of how far away this planet is from all the other ones and averaging it out? Because if that's the case,
I don't think it's an average. It says for most of the time.
For most of the time.
So it's it spends the most time in the closest proximity to all of the other planets.
So, I mean, because otherwise I'd say it would be like Neptune or something that has the elliptical orbit because, yeah, the elliptical orbit kind of goes way out there, but at some point it gets skinnier, right? Mm-hmm. And it's closer. But I would say Mars for more or less the same reason that you're saying Jupiter, because it's like on the inner ring of the asteroid belt. But that's going to be closer to, right, obviously R3, so Mercury, Earth, Venus. And then also probably the ones outside of the asteroid belt.
I mean, I guess maybe my pea brain just can't understand
circles
are the question, because I mean, other planets' orbit is going to affect this planet's orbit.
Right.
So even if it's closer most of the time.
So I think you break it down like this day or this time, short time period, this planet, Jupiter, for example, is X amount of distance from this planet, X amount of distance from this one, X amount of distance from this one. So we'll say that it's the closest to these three planets today, and tomorrow we'll take a look, and maybe it'll be the closest to four planets that day. And then maybe the next day, another planet will be the closest to all of them, but that's only on that day. And the first planet is the one that is around it the most amount of time. That's how I interpret this question.
That's
so
a lot of math.
It is. And that might be something to be said about the way that this question is written. You know, I think he did his best with the idea that he's going for. I think this is an interesting fact.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Mars, Jupiter, those both sound like good guesses. Could be
Earth.
I was just going to say, maybe it's Earth. That would be surprising, though.
I feel like with Earth, I know that there's like, oh, today you can see Venus.
Yeah.
But it's like one day.
You could do that for
like
all the
every
other ones.
Year or whatever.
In theory.
I don't know if like when you're on Mars, it's like, hey, you can see fucking Venus all the time, you know, and you can see Jupiter all the time, like.
And we're so egocentric that I feel like if that was a fact about Earth, we'd be like, check, that's us.
Yeah.
We're around the most.
I would say Mars or Jupiter, I guess, would be my guess, but it's not based on knowing anything about orbit or knowing anything really.
Well, if the Earth is flat and they're all rotating.
No, hold on. I think Jupiter is a good guess.
Okay.
If it's Mars, Zach, you'll get the glory.
We have a 12.5% chance of getting it right.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's see here. Clicking on answer here. Hopefully this is another Dolly the Sheep fiasco. This is a link to a Wikipedia page titled Mercury. Mercury is apparently the answer. And then there is a YouTube link here as the source. So I'll post a link to the video in the show notes just so you can check out the source. But let's go ahead and talk about this question real quick. We'll rate this question. Mark, your body posture says it all. This man looks like him and his twin brother. You have to answer their riddles.
No, I mean, it's a fine question. I'm just surprised.
Okay. Yeah, Mercury.
Yeah, I mean,
let's see if the Wikipedia page says anything.
I guess like the thing in my brain that was like that got me on Jupiter and wouldn't let up was thinking of something that would be able to like be equal or closest to equal distance from Uranus and from Mercury. But I guess if Mercury, like the way that it orbits, you know, if it orbits kind of like oval or whatever and just stays closest to the other planet's orbits or whatever, if that's the way it works.
Because somehow that was like my first thought. It's like, well, yeah, because Mercury's like looking out at all of them. Right, it's going to stay constant, whereas anything with an elliptical orbit or a semi-elliptical orbit, which I guess is not a thing, is going to like fluctuate.
What you got there, Lee?
Well, it says that it has one of the largest orbital eccentricities, which I think means that means it's like not uniform, right?
Right.
I'm looking at an animation here. This thing's weird. It's like shaped like an egg.
I was going to say, I remember seeing an animated GIF that had all the planets' rotations or whatever, and I wish I could remember what the fuck it looked like, but I couldn't. I remember looking at it and being like, wow, this is fucking crazy.
I know the one that it's like the sun is like shooting through the cosmos, and we're like not actually orbiting around it. We're like trailing behind it in like a weird shape.
It's so weird.
Space, man.
Yeah, I don't have any quick answers for you here, but we're just going to have to take Gil at his word. Zach, what do you think about that question? The way that it's worded? I mean, its answer is surprising for sure. I don't really necessarily knock the question because we got it wrong.
Right. So I learned something, which is cool. That's why I do this. But like, I don't know how to like convey the information that I learned. So I'm not a huge fan of the way it was worded.
Right. So
if this was an Uber, I would still give it 5 stars because his job depends on it. But other than that, not a huge fan of the way it's worded.
Mm. Mark, any particular thoughts about this question?
No, I thought it was a good question.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a stumper. This would be like a last question for me. But I, you know, I'm sure that the wording is right and everything. Like I said, it just the wording just flummoxed me a little bit. I'd give it an A.
It's got a lot of details. So I might just, if I was to read this question at a trivia, I might say, hey, take some notes on this one. I'm going to read you some facts. Sometimes I do that if I have a longer question, you know, that I think is not one that can be taken the first time mentally, you know, and thought about. Like, I'm going to read you some stuff, write it down, write down some notes. My high-performing teams do that on their own already. Yeah. Anytime they turn in their answer sheets, usually the winning teams at typical winning teams at some locations always have tons of notes on the back of the sheet.
Just like a written sus.
Yep. And I think that's important. I even have some teams like the squeaky chairs. A technique that they've adopted lately is no table talk. All of their communication is done through notes. So their answer suggestions, that way, you know, if there's a table sitting around them, nobody has access to their, you know, their thoughts on.
Gonna have to bring more pens.
Yeah. That's the thing. They took like 5 from me the first time, and they bring them back every time.
Yeah.
I go to bring a pen over. I'm like, oh, you guys are good.
You guys are good.
Yeah.
Brought your own from home.
Impressive. Gil, thank you for that question. Great question. Yeah, I would give it, you know, A-. I like the question.
I would throw in something about the atypical orbit. So, like, maybe this planet's atypical orbit brings it in closer proximity to all the other planets.
Yeah, that could be a cool hint. Which planet, this is the original question, which planet in our solar system is the closest to every other planet in our solar system for most of the time? It's pretty clean. I like it. I'm giving it an A. Okay. But yeah, some extra information could help it along, make it maybe a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no hint in here at all. So perhaps adding a hint would be a way if you wanted to ask a slightly easier version of that. Get some more details in. If you have a rate my question, please send it to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Gentlemen, are we ready for our final questions?
I think so. It's so funny to go back into the old repository and find some questions I had. This is one from back in the day. What Missouri congressman was dismayed to find that his opponent in the 2000 primary was named Richard A. Gephardt?
Missouri congressman in the Congress primary?
Is it Luther Strange?
Richard A. Gephardt. The guy was running against another guy named Richard A. Gephardt.
Oh, no.
Oh, so the answer was Richard A. Gephardt?
Yes.
Gephardt?
Who won?
Richard A. Gephardt.
Richard A. Gephardt.
Oh. Of course.
I'm sure.
Rand Paul.
Do I get to go first this time, this round? Is it my turn?
Oh, is that not your final question?
No, I went first, and then you had Zach go first.
You had Zach go first.
Oh, I fucked up.
It's my turn.
Yeah, you get
it's my turn. Okay. I have a Seinfeld question to kick off. Do you like Seinfeld?
Yeah, much as the next white guy.
Okay. That's a lot, then.
That's a lot.
It's quite a bit.
It's a bunch.
Mark, how's your Seinfeld knowledge?
We've discussed this. Remember my junior mints failure?
Yeah,
so
just to fill in new listeners, you know. Yeah. Could be anybody's first episode.
Very bad.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, this one, I think, you
maybe
know,
not very bad,
if you have a,
bad.
If you have a general knowledge of the Seinfeld sphere, you could probably suss. Here we go. Besides the main cast and the character Ruthie Cohen, played by actress Ruthie Cohen, a cashier at Monk's Cafe, who appears in the background of 100 episodes of the sitcom Seinfeld, what other character is the most frequently appearing character on the show Seinfeld with 48 appearances? So not including the main cast of 4 or Ruthie Cohen, who appears in the background of over 100 episodes of Seinfeld. What other character is the most frequently appearing character on the show with 48 appearances to their credit?
Newman.
Is he not one of the 4 main ones?
No. What?
Newman's not? Okay.
You thought your Seinfeld knowledge is bad, Mark.
Yeah.
There's Jerry, Elaine, George, and Kramer.
That's right. Okay, yeah, Newman.
Those are the main ones. And then there's Newman, who's the mailman, who hates Jerry.
Okay. I was going to think like Superman.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I didn't even know about the one he talked about.
Yeah, Ruthie Cowan.
See, that's the weird one. Like, that's a weird thing. Yeah. Like, I don't know about her, but I know about...
Okay.
You know, I know about him, played by Wayne Knight, the same guy that was in Jurassic Park and Space Jam. He played the one IT guy. The meme that says the guy spared no expense putting Jurassic Park together, but hired one IT guy.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of a meme. He's like, look, no one cares. Yeah.
That's Newman. The best I got is Newman, I think.
Let's fucking run with it.
Oh, wait a minute.
There's a but. Wait a minute.
George's father. Possibly. Serenity Now. I mean, I know he was on the Festivus episode, but I think I'm going to stick with Newman. I feel like best with Newman. You want to go with that?
Yeah.
We're going to go with Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Yay!
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Neat.
Frank Costanza, slightly less episodes. But yeah, I had to throw Ruthie Cohen in the question because if you ask what minor characters appeared in the most episodes, the answer is Ruthie Cohen.
Yeah.
But nobody knows who that is.
Okay.
Except like diehards. So that could be an ultimate hard Seinfeld question if you leave out the second most popular character, which would be Newman. That's 48
gotcha.
Episodes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Beautiful. Well done.
Thank you.
Zach.
That's me?
It's you.
It's up to me? All right.
Neat. It's up to you.
So you might have to rate my question on this because I'm not 100% sure on the best way to ask it. But so one of my favorite like trivia moments, maybe my least favorite, Mark asked a question about fencing and like how many types of weapons are there in fencing? The answer is 3, foil, epee, and saber. And I like did an audible yes because like I knew that, and he like took points off or made it worth less points or whatever. So like
really for gloating?
No, just
so wait, whoa, what okay. is this? You're taking points away for celebration? Is
no,
that what I'm hearing?
He didn't take points away. He made it worth less points.
So
that's taking points
I've
away.
I've told people before. So as you know, and as we've discussed at length, but we'll discuss again for new people. I always make my point worth or my points, my question. I put my point attribution for questions right before I grade my points. And I don't know how hard the questions are for the people, I guess. But unlike Adam, I don't do them based off of how hard they were. And unlike you, I don't pre-guess them. I do it right before based off of how hard I think they were. And part of that is by judging both auditory gasps and body language of people.
This is so strange. Spit's flying out of my mouth. I can't even swallow. I'm like listening like in utter silence.
So if I ask a question and I say, what doctor invented pasteurization? And people are like, 3 points. Like, everybody knows it. If I ask a question, I'm like, who's the drummer of Linkin Park? And people are like, oh my God, I have no idea. And people are scratching their heads. It's going to be like worth 7 or 8 points. So if I hear someone like say out loud, like they're like cocky about it, then I'm like, oh, well then this is probably easier. That is my guess that it is an easier question.
This is sounds so bizarre, man. I mean, if you come to my trivia and I ask a question about Primus, and I don't know that you're going to be there, but I know you're a huge Primus fan. I'm not like adjusting the points based on you being in the room and me thinking. I just say that's like the random luck of the draw. Mark happens to be here. This is a Primus question. Yada yada yada.
Well, I also have a much larger field of point value than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mine go from 3 to 8.
Yeah.
Yours goes from 3 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that change doesn't mean that this question's only going to be worth 3 points. It's probably still going to be worth like 6.
It's just, what if you have a team though that then wins by 1 point? It just seems so arbitrary and I don't know. Like, on one hand, I like it because it's like you're assessing, like, the skill of the room. And it's almost like you're moving into what Adam's doing, except he's having a computer do it. It's like some weird Jeff Goldblum Fly version of mine and his methods.
It's a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't come into play. Because most people aren't very, or people are.
I know it's news to me. I didn't know you even did this.
Because, like, most people are.
Zach knew, though.
Most people obviously know, like, make obvious the ones that I know are obvious.
So let me get this straight. Zach said yes, and then you said into the microphone, I'm making that worth less points now? Is that what happened?
No, I think I talked to him.
I think we talked about it later. I was like, oh, I got so excited when you asked a fencing question because Zach, like, that's one of the things that I used to do.
What do you think about this as a player?
As a player?
Oh, yeah, this technique, this shifting points.
I felt discriminated against.
And yeah.
I felt like my rights had been infringed upon. But, like, I mean, it's whatever.
A little bit.
You know. I mean, I get it, right? So, you know, if I don't know, I'm not a quizmaster, so I'm just giving, like, a purely outside.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what we want,
perspective here, but, like, if I was going to ask questions, so, like, today, right, I was like, oh, they're not going to know L. Ron Hubbard's name is Lafayette. I only learned that from a different podcast I listened to, and then you guys, like, started laughing at me. It's like, oh, fuck, I should, glad that's not my last question.
It's a meme on ours, practically.
Right.
We brought it up a couple times, but yeah, so as a player, I mean, what would you, like, do you like that? Like, I don't know if you got what we were saying, but with Adam, our fellow quizmaster friend who's sometimes on the show, who does quizzes in China, he has a spreadsheet made where the points are determined by how many teams got it right.
Get it right, and wrong. Yeah.
So it's like graded on a curve, mm-hmm. in a sense.
I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that's more objectively fair.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it does kind of feel like it's like arbitrary.
And Mark is like super subjective. It's like based on what Mark hears in the room or sees, like the celebration.
And half of nice guys.
Yeah. And then mine is like,
to know,
it's set in stone. These are the points.
I'd be curious to know, like, what point level changed, though. Because I know it was still worth, it wasn't 3, it wasn't 4, probably wasn't 5, but it wasn't going to be 8. It was probably still worth
7 to 6.
Very, very close to what it would have been worth anyway.
I did lose that night, though, so maybe I'm.
By a point?
Fucking dumb.
Who's to say? You shred those answers. Who
does, yeah. What does the concordance say?
All right, Zach.
Well, okay, so back to that,
I was hoping that the answer would be epi, because I remember I was like, oh, here comes the fencing question.
Epi,
my bad. Two E's and then
it's
little
close to the end. Okay, so I didn't mean for that to.
No, I like that. That's good.
That's good, yeah. Yeah. Makes for good podcasting. So, yeah, in all three sports of fencing, right? So you have epi, foil, and saber. Direct elimination bouts. You have pool bouts where you fence each other to figure out, like, where you're going to be placed in the tournament bracket, and then you move on to a direct elimination bout. Direct elimination bouts are over when the time limit is up or when one player reaches what score?
Three strikes, you're out.
It is, you know, it's a pretty typical, like, if you're playing a game that I like to call paper, rock, scissors, you usually do 3 out of 5, you know, after you lose the first one, you say 3 out of 5, 5 out of 7. I did that with our little one the other night, and we got up to, like, you know, 9 out of 12 or whatever, and she still lost, and she's like, this isn't fair. I'm like, look how far into this we've gotten. Yeah. I've won. I've beaten you. Accept it.
Accept your defeat.
3, right?
Go to bed.
Or could it be 5 out of 7? Like, it's got to be an odd number, right?
8 is a number that came to my mind, and I don't know why.
An even number.
But I don't know why it did.
So we can't even agree on this odd even thing. I mean, might be.
I'm trying to think of how long this stuff lasts.
I can tell you the times as, like, a hint.
No.
Okay. I'll save it for my explanation.
Wait, I'm not certain how the times give the hit. We're talking about...
Well, because if he says...
Oh, okay.
The time limit is a minute.
Yeah.
Well, then you got to fucking hurry up. How many times are you going to get stabbed in a minute?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the time would be like 1. If it's like 15 minutes, it's like, oh, well, 20. Like, you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Well,
then I'm not going three anymore. I misunderstood. I thought it was you get tagged. It's reset.
Like, oh, yeah.
Whoever lands three strikes first or something like that. That's
whichever comes first. Mm-hmm. The amount of times, this amount of times you get stabbed or some amount of time is given up. But we don't know how much time. So that would be the would be the clue.
I see.
But he didn't put it in the question, mm-hmm.
So how long does a fencing match take?
I would guess 5 minutes. I mean, how long can you watch people train to stab each other?
Per?
You think shorter?
I'm just thinking, like, you'd probably be pretty exhausted after five minutes.
Well, boxing matches are 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's three.
Yeah. I like that. Back to three. What do you think? Eight?
Go with five.
Five?
It's an odd number. Well, I was going to go with seven.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the odd of eight.
Yeah.
One lower.
Yeah. Five, me in the middle.
All right. We're going to go with five.
So, fencing pool bouts where you fence each other to determine your placement in the bracket is a 3 minute period where at the end, if the score is tied, you have 1 minute of what's called priority, which is the overtime. The score limit in a pool bout is the first to five. In a direct elimination, which is what the question was.
Shit.
Is 3 3-minute periods with a 1 minute break in between. If the score is tied, it's a 1 minute priority. Or it's the first to 15 points.
So what's the answer?
15.
Well, I feel good that we kind of
Did we? I don't even understand how to translate that, how to take that with me now.
Well,
wait, so it's first to 15?
Yeah.
And
that's the answer.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
In the first, so basically it's kind of like three of the first matches.
Right. You can get all 15 in the first period, but the shorter one is the first to five, or you do three of those.
So if you're super skilled, you're just doing 15 in the first and then going home. Resting.
Yeah.
Not going home.
You're not really supposed to do that.
You do have a fencer's body.
You can't be too good in fencing?
Well, it's kind of like rubbing it in. I mean, no, it's fine. I've done it. I've had people do it to me. But, like, typically what, like, my coach would tell me is, like, it's okay to win in the first period. It is not okay to lose in the first period. So.
There's a football team where this guy got in trouble for his team beating another team 50-something to 0. So his team was beating another team like 30-something to 0. And on first down, they just punted because they were like, we're winning and we're not allowed to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they caught flack for that.
Yeah.
They're going to say the other team ended up winning.
No.
Like that one Super Bowl.
Like, sorry, you're winning too much.
Right.
Now you're just going to be tired of winning. It's like,
yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I don't know what to do.
Anymore. Sports fans are the worst.
Yeah. Sorry for asking a sports question.
No. I loved it.
Mark?
Oh, Jesus Christ. How many different tiles have a value of 4 points in Scrabble?
Oh, fuck. You asked this at trivia not too long ago.
I don't think I did.
I think you did, because I don't remember the answer.
Well, I don't think I did.
Okay. Maybe it was a different point number.
I did find which state is the treasure state in my old questions.
Ah.
So I did ask that before.
Right.
But I don't think I asked this one.
How many of four?
Lee's in the tank.
Should we do this silently and then compare notes? I'm just going through the alphabet in my mind
right,
and trying to associate. So let's do that.
Just do it silently?
Yeah, and then we'll compare notes. So I'm thinking 2 to 3 somewhere in there. There's a couple of them fuzzy on.
I got 5.
5?
Yeah.
What's your certainty?
Not high.
Okay, what 5 do you have?
C?
Hmm.
Fuck. What are the rest? C, I'm pretty sure is 4. K, I think, is 4.
It could be 5, but 4
it could be 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 5.
And then either like M, N, or P is 4.
What's up?
Sorry.
Are you really, though?
No.
Do you need something? Just hanging out?
I was seeing if you're still recording.
Yes.
I was going to grind some coffee.
We need a couple more minutes, if you don't mind. That will be very loud.
Rise and grind.
M and P. K, which might be 5.
I think K is 5. I'm almost certain about that.
What about G and H?
G might be 5. H, I was thinking 4.
H, I'm pretty sure.
C, H.
C, H.
P?
P, N, or M. Maybe more than one, but one of them is definitely 4. So that's 3. How much is D?
I'm pretty sure D is 3. Maybe 2, though. It's pretty common.
That's the sound of my brain clunking around in there. It's been so long since I played Scrabble.
What about W? X is worth 8.
X is worth 8. Z is worth 10.
Mm-hmm. Q is worth 10. J is worth 8.
Yeah. W could
What is
be
Y worth?
Y, I think, 3? Is 2. Because you can add it. You can add a little whimsy onto the end of just about any word with Y. You say 3. I said 5. You want
4?
Split it, yeah.
4.
The correct answer is F H V.
How do you spell in a number?
W and Y, 5.
Oh, Y is worth 4. I thought Y is so common, you could just throw that on the end of anything, you know?
Most and it's funny that you said 5, but you started giving letters and they were all wrong. They were yeah. all wrong. You're like, C, I'm like, you're like, P, I'm like, nope. Like, all these letters you're giving, I was like, he's got the right answer, but none of the fucking right letters.
Yep.
But, you
story
know,
of my life.
Wow.
There you go.
Fun question.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
That's why I was, now you know why I was looking so hard. I knew it was a fun one.
Zach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's yeah, been, enjoy it's been your great. Pizza for the remainder of the year. And thanks, good. Of course, to your better half, Taylor, for her earlier appearance on the
for
show.
Her sloth question sorry, and her listeners. Bird question.
Send our love to everybody else that was on Mark Davis did 9/11 and all of the other Mark Davis related team names.
Okay. There'll be more. We got a couple
more. Yeah.
Yeah, you fantastic. Did some terrible things in China.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to lose my job or lose any listenership.
All right.
So we'll just hold off
we'll
on
hold
that.
Hold off on that. No.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name's Quizmaster Lee. You can check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays at Gather for Ladies Night Trivia in Cape Coral. That also starts at 7. Wednesdays, catch Mark Davis hosting trivia at Nice Guys Pizza at 9 p.m.
Bum, bum, bum.
Maybe we could get a team out there with Mark Davis doing some good deeds in the world for once.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7 as well. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends.
It costs you nothing.
You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. Don't write them in your notebook like Taylor.
No.
Write it on our Apple page or our Stitcher page or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Also costs you nothing.
You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. That one will cost you.
It'll cost you something.
But you have access to a bunch of bonus content. We just posted some
just
new stuff.
Just posted some juicy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cutting room floor stuff. Maybe some extra quizzes. I mean, I know there's extra quizzes on there. You can listen to full episodes, basically. Or shortened episodes, we should say. It's like an extra round, occasionally.
Indeed.
But there's like 10 hours of stuff up there.
We got some good stuff coming up.
Yep. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud, Tim from San Diego, from Pat's Garden Service. Thanks also to our team captains, Rachel, Aaron, Kristen, and Fletcher. And thank you to our proverbial light keepers, Nicole, the pit boss Luke, Spencer the Sheriff, Hank Gillen, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Magus, Lucas, Sean, and Gail.
It's
Sorry, I had to speed up there. We would have been here for five minutes.
Been a long time.
Big thanks to our Rumple Snailskins, Manu, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael
Cranberry
J.
And Michael Jelly.
We have Michael Cranberry and Michael Jelly back again for this November. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We also have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us, our quiz daddies, our team captains, our proverbial light keepers, our rubble snailskins for discussion related to the no-no. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only.
Please.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners, have a great week.